This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
It's March Madness time, and man, I'm excited. It's going to be fire. I can't wait. Well, already the Madness have kicked off. Howard lost.
Game over.
I'm proud of Howard for winning back-to-back MEAC championships. And this second one, they outlasted a pesky Delaware State team. A shout-out to my dad's alma mater, dad and sister's alma mater. I got accepted there. I could have went, but I didn't go. But always love for Del State. Definitely love for Howard because, you know, I'm a huge fan of them since they were so good to my godbrother, and my godbrother played well there, and I went to a lot of games. So I'll forever be a fan just because of those 4 years. I'm sick that they lost to Wagner. I thought that was a winnable game. Without even knowing anything about Wagner, I still thought that was a winnable game. And if I'm not mistaken, they were favored, if I'm not mistaken. And all the metrics say they were a better team. They were a better offensive team. And they were really good at threes, but it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. Now, props to them. They got down 17. Then they came back, and they cut it to three, and they were able to get a chance to tie the game at the end, and they just couldn't do it. I'm disappointed. I wanted Seth Towns to win. You know, I didn't know it was his eighth year. If I knew the story about Seth Towns, I probably would have came to see more Howard games this season. I didn't get to see any. I was supposed to see Howard and Morehouse, but unfortunately, the Eagles got scheduled that same day, that same time pretty much. So I opted to come home and watch the Eagles. Unfortunately, the Eagles got destroyed.
It's a complete crap.
Still sick about that. But I like what Kenny Blakeney is doing. He's been there since basically my godbrother's senior year. He was there. That was 2019, I believe. That was 2019, 2020, right before the pandemic. So, I mean, Howard had lost anyway. Like, literally, they canceled the tournament hours after Howard lost. So, yeah, you know, so I kind of got to meet him, kind of. I mean, I think I shook his hand or whatever when CJ was a senior and it was his first year. And, hey, he got them to MEAC championships and back-to-back. Impressive. I don't know what they're going to do next year, but they're on the right track, and I love it. Colorado State beat Virginia, and I shouldn't be too surprised because, well, I thought Virginia was better than what they were because I was like, they were third in the ACC, but I got to realize the ACC had a down year. Like, there were so many mid teams in the ACC, and Virginia is one of them. And you look at KenPom, I think Virginia is about top 10 in defensive efficiency. I'm not really surprised by that. But they're like in the hundreds in offense. Damn! Just terrible. And everything came to pass when they spent 10 minutes without making a bucket. I don't know how that's possible. Well, no, actually, I've seen it happen with the Oklahoma Sooners. Remember that 2012 team? They went on droughts like that all the time, and they went on a drought like that against San Diego State, and that's how they lost. That was the difference in the game. Virginia, I mean, they lost 67-41. They only had 14 points at halftime.
What?
Terrible. It's a complete crap.
It's a complete crap.
Having to watch Virginia in that game instead of Oklahoma. Yeah, that's right. Oklahoma didn't make tournament. I was saying the last month or so, it's been a roller coaster season, and now our season, our tournament chances are in limbo, and it shouldn't have been. We were firmly in for months. At one point, we were a six seed. And then all of a sudden, we lose a game here, lose a game there. We don't have any big wins. We lose to Kansas twice. Big missed opportunity. When Kansas was overrated, we should have beat them. Houston at home, and you're playing well with Javion McCollum, you have to win that game. Iowa State, that was a good win. I think that was the win that kept us afloat. Iowa State, because the committee and the computers love Iowa State. And Iowa State won the Big 12 title. They blew out Houston. I don't know what it is, but two out of the three Houston-Iowa State games, Houston looked like they completely forgot how to play basketball against Iowa State. Maybe it's just a bad matchup. And I'm like, that's why, you know what, now that I think about it, I don't think there's any team on that side of the bracket that can match up with them like Iowa State match up with them. I may have convinced myself to put these guys in the Final Four. I think I have in a lot of brackets. But I think in one of my brackets, I got Duke in the Final Four instead of them. Because I don't really trust their offense. But nevertheless, back to this. Oklahoma's not in tournament. Now, losing games down the stretch without Javion McCollum suck, and then we mess around and lose in the first round of the tournament, that didn't help us. Like, after we lost in the first round of the tournament, Oklahoma was supposed to be first four in. So that means they were going to be in the playing game. And me and, well, I'm going to call them like California, Oklahoma Ben. Me and my, you know, that version of Ben, that Ben, told me it'd be funny. Well, I told him it'd be funny if they put us in the playing game. He was like, oh, that's exactly what they're going to do. That's probably what they're going to do. It just looked like looking at the real-time bracketology and all these bum teams winning tournaments, that Oklahoma was going to be in the playing game when they were not even on the bubble 2 weeks ago. They were hanging on by a thread, but they weren't even on the bubble. But then once these bum teams start winning, all of a sudden, they're on the bubble. And I think NC State winning sealed our fate. And ironically, they did that in D.C. Ironically. So, yeah, so then, Selection Sunday, we're nervous. Half of the fan base believe we're going to make it. Half of the fan base believe we're not going to make it. And then, lo and behold, we don't make it. And then there is outrage. And I think it was mixed reaction. Some people didn't think we'd belong there anyway. And then some people were heated. And they saw teams like Virginia and Colorado State in the tournament. And they're like, what? Colorado? Like, there's some teams. You look at the net rankings that they use to replace the RPI. There are some teams that are much worse than OU in the tournament. They have no business being in the tournament. That is a fact. But they're in it for some reason. Either, you know, maybe they had one or two more big wins than OU, or they won their conference tournament and they weren't supposed to. There are some teams that are terrible that are in the tournament. They're not terrible. They definitely worse than OU. And the St. John's, like, we were the last team that – we were the first team that didn't make it out of the bubble. So we probably would have been the first overall seed in the NIT. We're not going to the NIT. Like, when fans were making jokes about us being in NIT, I just waved it off. I was like, we're going to make the tournament, man. What are you talking about? And then late in the midnight hour, we didn't make the tournament.
Come on, man.
And I'm devastated, especially after seeing Virginia lay an egg like that. But on the flip side of this, Colorado State is part of the Mountain West that all these experts, because I've listened to a bunch of podcasts, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos, and they are hyping up the Mountain West. Utah State, San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise State. Boise State played tonight versus Colorado. The experts saying it could go either way, but the way they hyping these Mountain West guys, wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Boise State won. All these Mountain West, New Mexico. New Mexico is really getting hyped. And Clemson is really getting trashed. Like, it's like they're the perfect matchup for New Mexico. I have to see it to believe it. I've been buying into the hype. I've been pushing New Mexico into the Sweet 16, even though that's a tricky matchup with, I don't know, Clemson might come to play. They might actually beat them. But even if they get past Clemson, the Baylor game is tricky. But I've been picking them to beat Baylor in a lot of brackets. I mean, I'll think about it. I'll think about keeping them. A part of me wants to do Baylor because they have some really good young talent and they're really well coached. So a part of me wants to, like, advance Baylor past New Mexico. I'm going to keep battling with it just like I'm going to keep battling with Illinois or Auburn or Illinois and Iowa State, even though my gut tells me Iowa State's overrated and Illinois, even though they have like a 92 ranking in KenPom defense, they're number three in KenPom offense, something like that. They're top five. And they have Terrence Shannon Jr., who had 40 against Nebraska. Damn! He is one of my favorite players in college basketball. But I don't know, man. Every time I get hype about a player, they mess around and get upset. Okay? Usually, the really, like, dominant player, if they don't have a good team around them, they end up losing. It happens all the time. So I'm going back and forth with this. You know what I'm saying? I could end up changing my bracket one more time before I, you know, leave it locked for, like, the big-time bracket pools, like maybe Yahoo, ESPN, the ESPN one with DC Frey, that's my basketball league. That one I'm taking seriously because I paid $10 for that and I can win $500 or at worst player credit, which is cool because that could make my next basketball league half off. Like, I'll take that. Or at least 30-40% off, which would be huge. So we'll see. I'm battling back and forth with all that. Sick that OU didn't make it. It makes sense. And the experts have no problem with them being out. It's a lot of outrage about St. John's because they were ranked higher than OU. And they were definitely ranked higher than Virginia. Virginia had no business being in there. I don't understand why. And they got cooked. They got destroyed on national television. So the committee doesn't look good. And that makes me think that the experts on these podcasts and stuff are right about the Mountain West. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but it looks like they're legit. But these experts don't have any of them in the Final Four. As far as the Final Four is concerned, it's a lot of UConn, Houston, Purdue, Arizona. That's pretty much the typical Final Four so far. That's pretty much the average Final Four. You could put Duke in there. Marquette's not getting a lot of love because, let's be honest, first of all, I watched them choke last year, and they pretty much got the same team. They got a good coach, but I just don't know. Like, the numbers, like, so many different teams better. The KenPom, the net ranking, they all like so many teams better. And I just don't think they really had the size to match up with some of these teams. I don't know if they have the shooting. I mean, we'll see. Or the defense. We'll see. I could be wrong. They're number two again for a reason. They were the second best team in the Big East for a reason. But they lost to Connecticut three times, and none of those games were close. Connecticut, 4-and-away the best team. I think they're number one in offense on KenPom, number 11 in defense. They pretty much have dominated everybody. They've lost four times, right? They had a stinker at Creighton. Okay, just like last year, Creighton beats them. And they still punish. I think Creighton beat them twice last year. Like, I don't know. Creighton's a tough matchup for them. I don't know why. I don't watch those games, but I don't know why. But they are. UConn lost a few games in conference, and they lost to Kansas when Kansas was fully healthy, and they were at Kansas. That's a tough place to play, especially in November or December when Kansas is fully healthy. So I can get how they'd lose that game. But they look like they're the best team. The Houston thing I'm struggling with because the numbers and the experts got them as the second best team. But I'm just like, Oklahoma almost beat them. Baylor almost beat them. Iowa State gave them a bunch of trouble and beat them twice. They don't have, out of the four, I guess, number one seeds, okay, they have the third best offense. Some of these lower seeds have a better offense. Now, they're number one in defense. So, basically, UConn's the number one offense. Houston's the number one defense. A part of me wants to just have them collide and meet in the middle in the tournament bracket, but I just don't know, man. I don't know. I might do some shifting around and stuff, man, and put Tennessee and Creighton, like, I don't know much about them, but they always give UConn trouble. They were one shot away from the Final Four last year, and they're always well coached. Coach McDermott is pretty good. Remember his son was pretty good when he played for him, and he's still in the NBA. But Creighton, like, KenPom wise, that's a college basketball metric website. It's free. That's KENPOM.com. Really good number, really good college basketball analytics site. So to check it out if you want. But I'm looking at it, and Creighton, like, Creighton's number 11 in KenPom, and they got 13th-ranked offense, 24th-ranked defense. See what I mean, man? In Tennessee, 29th-ranked offense, 3rd-ranked defense. Like, man, it's almost like Tennessee and Creighton cancel each other out, but Tennessee got the All-American Dalton Connect. So he's going to be All-American if he isn't already. That might be the difference, but I wouldn't be surprised if Creighton beats Tennessee or if Creighton goes to Elite Eight or even the Final Four. So they look really good on paper, and they were really close to the Final Four last year. So don't be surprised if they end up in the Final Four. The North Carolina disrespect, I mean, a lot of people have them in the Elite Eight losing to Arizona. Should I trust Arizona? Arizona always chokes. And do I really want to trust a team led by Caleb Love who chucks up a lot of shots, okay? He plays a lot of hero ball. Do I want to trust them? I don't want to do all number one seeds because the only time that's happened is 2008. Remember UCLA with Westbrook, Kevin Love, and freaking Collison, and remember Derrick Rose in Memphis and Kansas. I forgot who the fourth number one seed was. It didn't matter. It was Kansas and Memphis in the finals, and it was amazing. Doesn't even matter who the last number one was. It didn't matter. That was the only time it happened. That makes sense because those teams were so much better than everybody else. Could I see North Carolina in the Final Four? Sure. Am I going to put them in the Final Four in these major tournaments, in these major bracket pools? No. I can't do it. Even though I saw them play against OU, not live, but on TV, and I was like, this is one of the best defenses I've seen. Like, they're pretty good. And they got RJ Davis, who's pretty good, and they got their coach is pretty good. And also, that dude Ryan. His last name is Ryan, but I forgot his first name. It's something crazy. But that guy killed Duke at Duke. So his emergence, and you got RJ David, and you still got Armando Bacot. I could see them making the Final Four, but I don't know, man. I'm afraid to pull the trigger. I might have to make a Final Four with Illinois, North Carolina, Houston, or UConn, Houston, North Carolina, Creighton. Okay, I'm going to do that on one of these brackets. I'm just going crazy with these brackets. I'm going stupid with these brackets, but I'm going to do that. That's not going to be the official show bracket. The official show bracket I already entered in DC Frey, of course, no surprise. Got Connecticut winning. What I noticed in my KenPom research is that the last, like, seven champions, even Villanova, when they blew out Oklahoma, they were top five in KenPom offense. The only ones that weren't that weren't crazy in KenPom was Connecticut. Like the Cinderella Connecticut's, not the dominant Connecticut from last year or this year. So, yeah. I don't see any Cinderellas like that. I just don't. I got Connecticut winning the whole thing. If they don't win the whole thing, I got Purdue. I guess Connecticut, Purdue, Houston. If outside of that, Auburn, the numbers really like Auburn. Creighton, Tennessee, Arizona, the numbers really like Arizona. They got Arizona as like the third or fourth best team, like maybe the fourth best team. Outside of the top three, they got them better than North Carolina, better than Auburn. So the numbers really like Arizona. You can't go wrong with that. Who else? If you want to go outside of that, maybe Duke. Maybe Marquette. I don't know about that. Iowa State, because they're a really good defensive team and they're on a roll. You could go Iowa State. That's a really outside pick. I'm still struggling between Iowa State and Illinois. I don't know who I'm going to end up deciding to go with. My gut tells me Illinois, because part of me, there's a part of me that feels like, because I've seen this before, a team that's not Kansas that kills the Big 12 tournament and does really well in the Big 12, and then as soon as they get in the NCAA tournament, they choke. I've seen it happen with West Virginia. I've seen it happen with Missouri. Remember, Missouri was really, really good that one year in 2012, right before they went to the SEC, and they messed around and lost to Norfolk State?
What?
Or even Iowa State themselves. Remember, I think it was 01. They were really good. I think they had Jamal Tinsley, and they lost to Hampton. So, I mean, they could lose to South Dakota State. They could. I don't think they will. Nothing. There's no evidence that say, other than history, that says that Iowa State will lose to South Dakota State. I hope they do, because they're a conference rival. Well, I mean, for now. We're about to go to SEC. For now. So, I don't know, man. In Alabama has number two offense in KenPom, but they're 112th in defense.
What?
Which means they can get hot and go all the way to the Final Four, or they could be primed for an upset, because College of Charleston once again won the CAA here in D.C. They have a veteran group. It looks like they're well coached. So they can take advantage of Alabama's defense and upset them. That's why in some brackets I picked College of Charleston over Alabama. I don't know. I'm kind of afraid to do it in these big brackets because Alabama is just high risk, high reward. Like, they can go all the way because of how good their offense is, but they could also get upset because they just, yeah, they just don't play defense compared to other top teams. And they don't have a Terrence Shannon Jr. to make up for what they lack on defense. So I kind of think I'm taking the middle ground and having them losing to St. Mary's, who is a more complete team. But we'll see. But Alabama plays tougher competition. It's a back and forth thing. I have to think about it. Okay. But basically, when it comes to these brackets, the main things is 5-12 upsets are common. They happen all the time. 6-11, 10-7, 8-9s are toss-ups, which is annoying. Double-digit seed has made the Sweet 16. I don't know the streak, but it's been pretty common lately. So one double-digit seed, history, recent history has shown one double-digit seed is going to make the Sweet 16. Everyone's saying it's New Mexico. Everyone is saying it could possibly be Colorado State. One of the Mountain West teams, right? Who knows? Look out for Samford because I heard that they're fast-paced and they shoot a lot of threes. Definitely primed to give a lot of teams some problems. Especially Kansas, who don't have a lot of depth, and Gonzaga, who just a lot of big guys play slow. I could see that. Watch out for Samford. Who else? Oregon, because of Dana Altman, and they won like 7 in a row. Don't be surprised if they make the Sweet 16. I think my best guess is New Mexico because they're like the best of them double-digit seeds as far as like KenPom and numbers and net ranking and all that. They're better than all those other teams I just mentioned that were double-digit seeds. So James Madison, look out for them. Yeah. If you need a double-digit seed in the Sweet 16, I can see it being one of them. McNeese State, just because, you know, Kansas and because Gonzaga and Kansas are vulnerable, they could end up. And they're coached by Will Wade, who's a really good coach. So they could definitely end up in the Sweet 16. Let's see. Okay, pick between 10 and 16 total upsets. KenPom type top 20 offense and defense. UConn, Houston, Auburn, Arizona, Purdue. Why I mention KenPom so much? Because apparently the last like 15, 20 champions, like most of them, if, you know, other than the Cinderella UConn teams, most of them were good, were like top 25 offense and like top 40 defense. So they got to be good on offense and defense, which makes sense because you're a champion. Like, you got to be good at everything. You can't just be good at one thing and suck at the other. This is kind of like my Philadelphia Eagles, 2023 Philadelphia Eagles philosophy. And you saw how that ended. Or like the 2022 Vikings. Really good offense. Good offense. Terrible defense. You saw how that ended. So that's why I'm afraid of Illinois and Alabama not going that far because they're just going to have to be hot on offense for 6 straight games, and that's hard to do. We'll see. Number one seeds have won most of the championships. Shocker. And I just saw a graphic that since 2000, they've won 63% of the championships. Last year, it wasn't a number one seed that got past Sweet 16, but that was an abnormal season. The year before, Kansas was the number one seed they won. The year before that, Baylor and Gonzaga were the top two teams, and it wasn't even close. And they were both, obviously, both number one seeds. Baylor won. They were number one seed, you know. So there you go. 2019, Virginia, number one seed, won it all. Think the year before that, Villanova. The year before that, Villanova, number one seed, number one seed. No, it was North Carolina the year before, number one seed. The year before that was the whole, in 2016, the whole, you know, Houston massacre with Oklahoma losing and me getting depressed. Those guys were two seeds. Like I said, two times, even since 2016, a number one seed didn't win the title. Last year in 2016. And even in 2016, I think North Carolina was a one seed. They were definitely a one seed. Even in 2016, the one-seeded Carolina was a shot away, was a play away from winning. And they end up winning the next year, by the way. So, number one seeds, you can't go wrong with them. You just got to be careful. Because at least one of them will lose before the Elite Eight. Usually, that's what happens. The numbers say North Carolina, but they're in a shaky bracket, so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But I got UConn, for sure. I could get into more bracket tips, but, I mean, I don't know. Remember, a fifth seed has never won a national title. Out of all the fifth seeds that are in there, okay, Wisconsin, Gonzaga. I always will think Wisconsin's overrated. You can never convince me otherwise. Gonzaga fell off. They're not as good as previous years, but I guess because of the coaching, they could go all the way, but I doubt it. Who else? St. Mary's. They just won. They just beat Gonzaga to win that conference title. Yeah, I don't trust them. I never can trust them. When have you ever seen them in the Final Four? Exactly. San Diego State. That could be the one because they were literally in the championship last year. But the East bracket is so difficult. I can't see them getting past the second round. They might not even get past the first round. That's how difficult it is. FAU, even Northwestern got good guard play. UConn, a juggernaut. Iowa State, on a roll. And they're top 10 in KenPom, maybe even top 7, I think. Illinois has got one of the best players in the country, and they're number 2 offense on KenPom. Man, that joint, Washington State's pretty good. BYU is really good three-point shooting team. Bro, it's just, that East bracket is a, man, that joint going to be crazy. So, I doubt the fifth seed's going to win that. I'll be shocked. There's no way. To get past Auburn and Connecticut, when Auburn is basically a top 5 KenPom and maybe net team. Like, it's that's going to be tough. That's going to be way too difficult. Anyway, a lot of March Madness stuff. I can go on and on forever, but I got to move on. Shout out to Anna Miller. I had to go back and see, because I remember that name. I was like, wait a minute. That name, that face, that body. I was like, she looked familiar. Because I saw she hit a game-winning shot in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship. And I looked at her face. I was like, oh, I remember her. I covered her on episode 188. And I said, and I went back and listened to it today, at least that part of it, well, and also the DC Defenders part, but that's not the point. I listened to it, and I was like, yeah, she's a rising junior, And she had got better her sophomore year compared to her freshman year. And I said she was going to make another jump because it seemed like she was trending that way. And I was saying her team, the same thing as last year. They barely won the MVC, but they gave their first round opponent, which was last year was Louisville. This year is Colorado. Some problems. And wow. And I was right. I was right. Anna Miller. So I marveled at her defensive prowess. So she was, if I'm not mistaken, let me see her last year. Yeah, two-time defensive player of the year. Two-time MVC all defense. So this year, I told you she was going to make another jump. This year, she started all 34 games. She played all 34 games. She's in double digits in field goal attempts. She shot almost 50%. I think she's been doing that consistently, so that's no big deal. She improved her blocks from 2.3 to 2.6. And remember I said she had 50 blocks her freshman year, 72 her sophomore year. This year, she has 89. Damn! I told you she was going to make a jump, and boy, did she ever. Second team all-conference, all-defense again? Bro, man, this girl, man, she ain't being talked about, though. She's pretty good. Now, will she make the WNBA? I don't know. But I need to pay more attention to her. I hope I get to watch her game against Colorado because I want to see this. Like, I missed the Louisville game. I only saw the highlights. Now, I'm trying to see this. I just got to go see what the schedule is. But she's pretty good. And she keeps getting better. So that means she got one more season. And, you know, like I said, in the original episode, in the college basketball reference spotlight, you know, she's just one of them girls that she's just a tall girl with tall, skinny girl with long arms. And she uses it to her advantage. So let me see. She's shooting these threes. Not really. 26% from three. That ain't really her thing. Whatever. But she shoots 50%. She shoots 60% from two. So, yeah, that's cool. Man, I'm so proud of her, man. Like, the only reason I cover her because I randomly saw her face on College Basketball Reference. And she's good. And she got better. I'm proud. Like, I said she was going to get better. I said the sky's the limit. And she's living it out. Now, her team, once again a 12 seed, once again barely got through the NVC, but they did, and now they're back in the tournament playing another 5th seed that I think they can beat. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But I just want to say that I'm proud of her. And I will be posting that clip of, you know, her, because I think that was one of my shorter ones, so that will be easier to post, so I will post that soon. Her game-winning shot was awesome. Her teammates mobbed her, and I was like, man, that was pretty cool. I absolutely loved it, but good luck to them. Good luck to her. I'm very excited to what she does in the NCAA tournament. Angel Parker is another one I covered, another, you know, present-day college student, college player I covered. And their team lost in the championship. Now I have to kind of follow up on that and see what happened and also see how Angel did. But, yeah, she was another one that was still in college that I followed. But Anna Miller doing pretty good. Whether she makes the WNBA, I don't know. But I know for certain the way she plays defense and how efficient she is on offense makes me think that she will at least play overseas. Now, I don't know if she's going to be in WNBA, but I think she'll at least play overseas. And that might be all she needs to do. But yeah, man, a very positive update. And, you know, hopefully I might get on that Angel Parker update as well. But I don't know when. I might, even though that's not a... I'm sure it's a positive update. I'm sure she played well because I think she was just a freshman last year. But her team lost, so we won't get to see her in a tournament like Anna Miller. I got to check on the UT Arlington girl too. But at least Anna Miller's doing good. So props to her. And hopefully I get to watch her on Saturday or Sunday. Okay, get to some NFL stuff. Kenny Pickett is with the Bird.
What?
Just like when Mac Jones joined the Jaguars, I'm just left wondering, how and why is this guy an Eagle? I know that the Eagles were looking for a backup quarterback, but in my mind, I was thinking cheap old veteran at worst, decent draft pick at best. But I see that they were going to get Justin Fields, but they didn't want to potentially pay the fifth-year option. Makes sense, I guess. Justin Fields ends up going to Pittsburgh.
What?
He had been rumored to be going there for months, and that happened. But the Kenny Pickett thing, I just don't understand. He isn't Jalen Hurts, bro. Like, he doesn't play like Jalen Hurts. I guess a solid backup, I guess is fine because you never know what will happen to Jalen Hurts. So I guess it's good to have an insurance policy. And plus, he's from the Philly area and he grew up an Eagles fan. You know, when they showed that picture of him in an Eagles jersey, I laughed because I never thought in a million years he would be an Eagle anytime soon. But here we are. It happened literally a year or two later. What? Are you kidding me? Of course the fan base isn't that thrilled about it, but I'm not. I don't get it. But let's see what happens. You know, this could be, at best, he's another Nick Foles and will be a legend. At worst, he'll just ride the bench and he'll get cut in the next year or two. And we'll end up starting this process again. I mean, if that happens, I mean, Mariota, we let him walk. He'll just be another Mariota. He'll just ride the bench. He might come in every now and then. He might come in when either Jalen gets hurt or we're blowing somebody out, or God forbid, we're getting blown out. And, you know, he just takes some snaps and then that's it. Like, if that happens, that's fine. That's fine with me. I mean, ain't no big deal. It doesn't look like we gave up that much to get him. I mean, what, we give up a 4th-round pick, a 6th-round pick? I mean, that's nothing. Like, kind of like what what's-his-name gave up for Justin Fields. No, I think we gave up a 3rd-round pick for him. I'm like, for Kenny Pickett? I mean, I guess. Kenny Pickett's all right. You know, he's just okay. I saw him play against the Ravens. I know the Ravens was a good defense. Saw him play against the Browns. He struggled against both. But here's the thing, though. He made them throws when he had to make them in the 4th quarter. And I think I can work with that. He showed flashes. But I just don't. We don't really need him. And I don't know how he'll fit in this dang offense. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. It's just weird. You know, it just doesn't make sense that he's nothing like Jalen Hurts. But I've heard from somebody that says, you know, having a quarterback that's different from your starter can be good because if your starter gets hurt, it kind of throws the defense off guard because they are not prepared to go against a different type of quarterback. But we'll see. Wow, just totally shocked by that. At least a Justin Field thing, I kind of understand it, but I less understand it because they got Russell Wilson. So you give up draft resources to put him behind Russell Wilson. My only rationale behind this is that, well, if it don't work out, okay, you can afford to pay him his fifth year option. If it don't work out, you can get rid of him and Russell Wilson and just start over. And it won't cost you that much. Because they're only paying Russell Wilson $1.2 million. I don't know what they're paying Justin Fields, but it's not a crazy amount of money. And if they pick up his fifth year option, he's a quarterback. So I'm guessing it's $30 million or something like that. I mean, you paying that for 1 year instead of like 4 or 5 years is cool. So if it don't work out, you could just cut bait. If it does work out, I mean, you can renegotiate. And you have your quarterback for the future. I can see why you would do that. You know what I'm saying? Bring Justin along slowly. And then also, if Russell Wilson sucks, from the jump, you got a quarterback you can plug in immediately. And you can rock it and roll it with him. Okay, now I kind of understand. I kind of understand it. I just didn't think both of those guys would go to Pittsburgh. Like, I knew one of them probably was going to go to Pittsburgh. But both? Wow. But it makes sense when you actually think about it. And I'm like, sure, that's fine. Now, to my surprise, Mason Rudolph is in Tennessee. Like, I didn't see that coming. But I guess, man, I don't think he's going to start. Like, he's going to be backup or third string. So they completely redid their quarterback room. Mitch Trubisky got cut before the season was over. Damn!
Game over.
You know what? It might have been immediately after the season over. Nevertheless, they couldn't wait to get rid of him once they saw that Mason Rudolph was better than him. So, yeah, that wasn't the idea they had when they got Mitch Trubisky at first. So now you got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They both had similar numbers. So, both threw for close to 3,000 yards or right above it. Both of them, I guess, threw for a similar amount of touchdowns. I think one threw a little more interceptions. It's similar numbers if you look it up. I saw it this morning. I don't know how that's going to go. They're a complete wild card. Literally, they've been a wild card in the playoffs the last 2 or 3 years. And once again, they just look like a wild card. This could go really well. And they're in a tough division, so I don't see them winning the division. But they got a good defense. They got some pieces on offense you can work with. But I just don't see them going anywhere further than the second round. At best. I still don't think they're getting past the wild card round. It's too much competition. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals. Oh, man. If the Jaguars wake up. The Texans now. Now you got to deal with the Texans. It's too much, man. It's going to be tough. If the quarterback thing work out, these guys are definitely capable. You've seen flashes. And obviously, Russell Wilson was cruising to the Hall of Fame until recently. And Justin Fields have shown flashes of being a Pro Bowl level quarterback. So it can go really well. Or maybe the defense in the running game just going to have to carry these guys. And yeah. We'll see. They made the playoffs last year with a mid offense. If these guys can make it better, there's no telling what they can do. Wow. Man, oh Lord Jesus. My competitive kickball team. One of my captains giving a speech about commitment and people at practice. Oh, God. It's an intermediate team. It's the true definition of an intermediate team. We're definitely better and take kickball more serious than people in these adult leagues that play on the mall and play near these bars and stuff. However, we're definitely not as serious and can't get the commitment of a team that, I don't know, wins a lot of tournaments, travels all the time, plays kickball for money. Like, we ain't there yet. So, yeah, but we're trying to at least be closer to a team that does, you know, win tournaments and win serious leagues and stuff. We're trying to be that. It's always going to be a dilemma because kickball isn't that high of a priority for a lot of people on our team. So we're forever going to have that problem. But yeah, I said that on the air, but whatever. I was just going on a tangent. But yeah, man, quarterback thing is very interesting. Now, real quick on the Wizards, they still trash. They went on a 2-game winning streak and went back to losing, blown out by Memphis. Can't beat Houston, lost to Houston twice. That was a quick season series. We went to Houston, got blown out. They came here, we played a little bit better. It was a close game into the third quarter. Then they ran us off the court. Jalen Green, 37 one game, 41 the next game. Damn! That guy just dominated us. And do I even have to mention the Boston game? What do you think happened against Boston? They killed us. Of course they did. And of course, the chick I follow that's a huge Boston fan, of course, well, she probably didn't care. I mean, it's us, so. But I'm sure she was happy. So, yeah, the Wizards are still trash. And what makes it worse is Kuzma's missing games. I think you should just shut him down now. He's missing too many games, and we're not winning any games. Just shut him down. You did it last year. Why not do it this year? Jordan Poole pretty much has the greenest light ever because no one's really playing. Kuzma's hurt. Bagley's hurt. Koulibaly's out for the season. Denny Avia's hurt. Man, half our team is hurt. We're playing G League guys. We're playing guys that are usually on the go-go. Patrick Baldwin is starting. Justin Champagne is starting, which I'm just finding out he has a twin named Julian that plays on the Spurs. So, I mean, this is just a nightmare season that can't end soon enough. But yet, Mattel is going to go and watch them play very soon. I think on March 29th or on April 3rd when they play the Bucks, it's going to be one of those games, or maybe not. Because do I really want to watch this train? I'm probably going to watch this train wreck. But come on, man. This is terrible. These guys trash. And you know that. And we lost Bilal Koulibaly, our young soldier. I mean, he's like 18. But there's a lot of potential. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't been bad. He's a better overall player than. And I'm just talking about our latest first round picks. He's better than Troy Brown. He about the same level as Rui Hachimura at this stage, I guess. Maybe Rui was a little bit better. I don't think he's better than Rui yet, but he's getting there. Who else? Corey Kispert. I mean, no. No, it was Denny Avia, right? That was recently. Okay, better than Troy Brown. He's better than... He's getting close to Rui. He's a better overall player than Kispert, but Kispert's getting better. Denny Avia is taking leaps forward. He's not quite there yet, but Bilal Koulibaly is kind of heading in that Denny Avia direction, but I think he's developing faster than Denny Avia. He's already better than Johnny Davis. So, yeah, man. Like, that, it turns out this is a good pick. And we're still losing. And now this guy's hurt and is injury prone. So we got to worry about that. But he's young and he's done well his first year, all things considered. So I'm sick that he's out for the season, but I think it's a risk injury. So I don't think he's going to be, he should be back by training camp. That's all I'm going to say. And that's all that matters. But man, come on, man. We just going out like chumps right now. Man. Oh, man. The Wizards trash, boy. And I'm sick. The Nationals start soon. Don't have much expectations for them. The Washington Spirit. I was wrong. They did not open the season last week at home. But they did open on the road against OL Reign, one of the teams we were competing with for the last playoff spot, but we didn't get it. They don't have Megan Rapinoe anymore. It didn't matter. She was old. She was old and wasn't going to help them that much anyway. Like, she wasn't going to, like, be the star. Still helped them, kind of, yeah, but this ain't going to be the star. Nevertheless, we lost 1-0. Apparently, we had a goal that got disallowed. We already losing with the youngins. Hopefully, it was just first game jitters, or maybe OL Reign's better than we thought. Well, they're Seattle Reign now, but it doesn't matter. Like, OL Reign, Seattle Reign, we get the difference. Now they're playing the expansion Bay FC. That's happening this weekend. I was wrong. I thought it was happening last weekend, but it's happening this weekend. I want to go, but most likely I'm going to have to hit the road. I'm probably not going to be able to watch it. Hopefully they win. It's an expansion team. We're at home. Let's punish them, please. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, man, slow start. Slow start. DC plays St. Louis on Saturday, obviously at St. Louis because we're home because the Spirit are home. So obviously, we're not going to, obviously DC United is not going to be at home. I'm trying to look at the MLS standings here. Let me see what we got here. What do we got here? Conference standings. Here we go. I haven't really been watching. I mean, I got all this March Madness going on. That's 2023. Where's 2024? Okay. Here we go. Live standings. Miami came here and beat us without Messi. Doesn't really surprise me. They still had the dude that was on Barcelona with what's the name? The South American dude. I forgot his name. Forgot his name. I don't care. He was playing. But Messi wasn't playing. So all these people in their cherry blossom pink uniforms simping for Messi, he wasn't there. And too bad, so sad. It is what it is. He didn't play. But they still won. They still beat us. And I'm looking at DC as ninth. That's pretty much where they were last year. But it's early, and we're already 5 points behind Miami and Columbus. Shocker, I know. It's looking like the same thing as last year. Miami, Cincinnati, Columbus. Three best team. Shocker. Like, it's just nothing has changed so far. Looks like the same standings as last season. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully, I get to a DC United game, but obviously, I'm more interested in the Spirit. So, yeah, just have to wait and see. March Madness, NFL offseason, start of the spring sports. Hey, it's a lot going on, and I'm excited. But that's the show, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. And you already know that I'm out. Peace, and you better respect the bird.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.